Freedom from error. Freedom from error. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews which believed in him, "If you shall continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Freedom means independence, emancipation, liberation, deliverance, being free from bondage or captivity. The word error, perversion, false teachings or beliefs, corruption of the truth, distortion, false information. And thus we are challenged, we are warned to be free from error. Jesus warned the disciples in Matthew 7, 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits." We are to scrutinize and to analyze, to verify, to validate all teachers. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Every believer is to take the scriptures and to compare all teachings. In Acts 17:11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." We're warned against error because error will cause one to believe that he is saved when he is still in his sins. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 and 16, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." There is one universal message that has saving power. Any changes, any perversions, any modifications of it will render those who teach it and those who believe it to be accursed. In Galatians 1, verse 6 to 9, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that will trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." Error will allow one to worship, although be it in vain. Jesus said in John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And thus, when the worship is tainted, when it is perverted, when it is modified, one might worship, but that worship will be in vain. Jesus said in Matthew 15 89. This people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And thus all of us ought to speak the same thing religiously. 1 Corinthians 1:10. The Apostle Paul said, we are all to speak the same thing. We ought to be perfectly joined together, having the same mind and the same judgment. And so then, freedom from error. We need to be free from error within the church. When it comes from the inside of the church, there are two basic dangers. There is the danger of liberalism from the left. Liberalism treats matters of faith as if they were matters of opinion. In Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith is built upon the word of God. But when matters of faith are treated as if they are matters of opinion, then that causes one to have a lack of respect for the word of God. An opinion is a lack of conclusive evidence. It is speculation. It is belief without proof. We cannot take the word of God and treat it as if it is an opinion. When God speaks on a matter, that's not almost it, that's it. And thus what our opinions are don't really matter. Because when God speaks, let God be true and every man a lie. Liberalism looses where God has bound. Jesus said in Matthew 16:19, but I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. The apostles were given the authority to bind and loosen the kingdom. What they bound on earth was already bound in heaven, and what they could loose on earth was already loose in heaven. So we cannot treat matters of faith as if they are matters of opinion. Only heaven can determine what is to be bound or what is to be loosed. And we cannot loose that which God has bound. Liberalism is laying aside the word of God for the traditions of men. In Mark 7:9, Jesus said, full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye might keep your traditions. Traditions are not wrong in and of themselves, but when those traditions contradict the word of God, then those traditions are wrong. Furthermore, when we consider the fact that when one says that the word of God is too strict, and that the grace and mercy of God nullifies law, that is a spirit of liberalism. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, when we fellowship denominationalism, that which is clearly in contradiction to the scripture, then that is liberalism. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, Paul said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And so then, when we fellowship those who are in contradiction to the truth, to the church that Jesus built, the one he purchased with his blood, the one he's the head of, the one he's married to, the one that wears his name, the one that is heaven bound, that is rock bottom and fireproof, we cannot fellowship that which is in opposition to the truth. Not only that, there are those who will extend public leadership roles to women over men. That's liberalism. In 1 Timothy, the 2:11-12, Paul said, but let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not the woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. There's an order in creation, and the order continues in the church. And thus, the man is to lead in public over the woman. That doesn't make her inferior. That doesn't make her less than the man. But God has an order. And thus, in worship, then she is not to lead or teach over the man in a public way. Furthermore, there are those who will bring into the worship choirs and praise teams and will inject them into the worship. This is liberalism. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All of us collectively are to sing and to sing without the accompaniment of mechanical instruments, and we do so to the Lord. We are speaking one to another. We're singing one to another as we sing to the Lord. And thus, we cannot have a group paid or based upon ability perform in worship in our stead. Thus, every worshiper is to participate in the worship. There's also a decline in morals that have been spoken of several times today when it comes to liberalism, homosexuality, men marrying men and women marrying women. These are trends away from truth. They loose what God has bound, one man for one woman for life. Not only that, we have abortion on demand that's being used as contraception. This is something that is liberalism, a loss of respect for the sanctity of life. We also have gambling. People buying lottery tickets and doing all other kind of things besides working, managing money, and taking care of their families. We have social drinking, being encouraged, and simply says, can you control your alcohol? Well, we ought to control it by not consuming it. And so the idea is that it is poison and it ought not be consumed. Same thing with tobacco. You know, I heard a fellow say about tobacco, what is a cigarette? Well, it is toxic poison wrapped in paper with fire on one end and a fool on the other. Well, it is something that we ought not to be a part of. And then, of course, there is a danger from radicalism on the right. Usually there's a pendulum effect that when one runs from one extreme, he runs to the other. And many times, there are those who run from liberalism and run headstrong into radicalism. We need to be aware of the dangers of radicalism. Radicalism treats matters of opinion as if they are matters of faith. In Acts 15 and verse 1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. These were treating matters of opinion as if they were matters of faith. Circumcision had been nailed to the cross. It had been removed. It is a decent practice for medical purposes, but it is not to be bound as a matter of faith. Making laws where God has made none is radicalism. In Acts 15 and 24, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and to keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. When we have no commandment from the Lord, we cannot make any. We can't draw them up as we go. Binding where God has loose is radicalism. Again, in Matthew 16 and verse 19, I shall give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. If heaven didn't bind it, neither shall we. Believing that God gave too much liberty and man's freedom must be restricted is an act of radicalism. In other words, there are those who have this idea that there should be no kitchens in the building, no orphan homes supported from the treasury, no cooperation in evangelism, everybody must drink out of one cup. Well, these optional matters are permissible It's all right for everybody to drink out of one cup. That's one way to get everybody to the front. But that optional matter is not obligatory. It is not binding. Better options are available. We have the individual cups for sanitary purposes. In fact, we even have the prepackaged communion supplies. That's a matter of opinion. And thus, if one doesn't feel comfortable with it, then don't use it. But don't bind it and make laws where God has not made any. And so then, the Apostle Paul, when he went preaching, he went by ship and oftentimes by foot. Well, that's still permissible, but it's not exclusive. It is not bound. One can still go walking, but you can ride in your car too. And you can ride by airplane. And so then, sometimes we have the idea that because something is in the Bible, that it is bound exclusively. Sometimes it's just an option. It can be done, and even today. But if there are better options today that are more expedient, we can select the expedient one. We ought not divide and fight and tear up the church and bring error in because of radicalism, where we are binding opinions instead of drawing and speaking what the Bible speaks and being silent where the Bible is silent. Radicalism treats opinions as matters of faith and makes them test of fellowship. You remember when in Matthew 15, those religious leaders, the Jews, the Pharisees and scribes, they came to Jesus and said, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread?" You know what Jesus' response was? "Why do you transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? You have made laws that God didn't make, and you transgress the commandments of God, and you try to get me to bind that on my disciples. I'm not going to do it." There are some areas in which we need to be careful that we don't treat matters of opinion as if they're matters of faith and use them as tests of fellowship in the church. What are you talking about? Well, one is politics. You know, politics, everybody have their own view. And people approach politics in different ways. As Christians, our number one obligation is to the Lord. Whether one is a Democrat or Republican or Tea Party or Independent, all of these are titles that people place on people, but as a Christian, I ought to be bound by Scripture. And I ought not agree with anything that contradicts that, whether it is held by some who claim to be a Democrat or whether they claim to be a Republican. I ought to be independent enough, not a independent, but independent enough to take the Bible and see what it says and make a judgment and a personal opinion based upon the Scriptures. And not have to side up with anybody or any group. These ideas that politics is brought into the church, instead of being left as a personal opinion and a personal choice, we sometimes want to make a test of fellowship. Well, politics within itself is divisive. Just look at our nation. And if we be allowed to become a test of fellowship, it'll do the same thing in the church that it does in society. It will divide. Not only that, it is materialistic, it is worldly, it is hypocritical, it is given to extremes, and we have to be careful. Christianity must be elevated above politics. And we ought not look at brethren based upon what political position they hold on some of these opinions that we talk about. When it comes to special days, birthdays, and how we celebrate holidays at home that are non-religious, whether it's New Year's, whether it's Thanksgiving, then brethren have freedom to make judgments and opinions about what they're going to do at home. And if we differ on those, they are personal opinions, and they ought not be bound on anybody else. And we ought to be able to worship together and work together and not make laws that God has not made. That's how we keep the church free from error, from liberalism and from radicalism. And thus we keep the extremes at bay, keep them out of the church, and we avoid the ditches. The ditch on the left, liberalism, is just as dangerous as the ditch on the right, radicalism.
We have to stay in the middle of the road, stay balanced, avoid the extremes, don't make laws what God has not made, and respect the ones that he has. Well, how do we do that? First of all, my time is about gone. Let me just say this real quickly. We are to develop qualified leadership that respect the authority of the scriptures. We ought to respect elders. We ought to teach men, train men how to be elders and have the faith that God's way is best and not trying to circumvent God's arrangement thinking we have a better way. Secondly, we ought to preach the word, the whole counsel from the pulpit on every subject. We ought to train qualified Bible teachers to make sure that our people are educated in the word of God. We ought to encourage every member to study and to grow, 2 Timothy 2:15, and then be careful what and who we allow in the pulpit, whether the gospel meetings or other engagements. Error must not be fellowship, but exposed, Ephesians 5:11. We must correct and convert those who are teachable, James 5:19 and 20. Just because a brother is in error on a point doesn't mean he to be withdrawn from. What about teaching them? What about taking them aside like Aquila and Priscilla were taken, took aside Apollos and teach him? And so James said, if you correct the one that error from the truth, you have saved a soul from death and have hid a multitude of sins. But then those that are known false teachers must not be given a platform to teach the error. 2 John 9:11. We are not to break laws that God has made. We are not to loose what God has bound. And thus we are to speak what the Bible speaks, be silent what the Bible is silent, call Bible things by Bible names, and do Bible things in Bible ways. Revelation 22:18-19, don't add to the word, don't take away from it. Question, are we keeping the church pure and free from error, or are we allowing extremes to cause the church to be filled with error? Thank you.